Okay, so welcome to the deep dive. Today we are going to get into something pretty interesting, I think.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about the three strikes law in California.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people think of it as, pretty cut and dry. You get three strikes and
Right.
that's it. But it's a
It's
lot more,
more complicated than that.
yeah, it's a lot more nuanced than I think most people realize.
Yeah. So we're going to kind of unpack all of that today, and we're going to use as our kind of jumping off point a case
Okay.
called People v. Reginald Eugene Williams.
That's so good.
And this was sent in by a listener. So if
Yeah.
you have a case that you would like for us to cover, you can send that in and we will take a look at it and maybe do a deep dive on it. So the three strikes law basically says if you get convicted of a serious or violent felony,
Right.
and it's your third strike, you are going to be looking at a very long sentence.
Yes, 25 to life,
25 to life,
which
yeah.
is a huge sentence.
It's a huge sentence. Yeah. So, but there is this thing called judicial discretion where a
Yes.
judge can
All
say,
right.
wait a second,
Exactly.
maybe we're not going to.
That's so fast.
Not so fast. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're going to be looking at is like, when is it appropriate or when is it not appropriate
Right.
to use this power to essentially sidestep the three strikes law?
Exactly. And that element of the three strikes law is codified in the California Penal Code section 1385A, and that allows a judge to use discretion
Okay.
to dismiss a prior strike in furtherance of justice.
In furtherance of
Yeah,
justice.
that's the language
What
in
does that
there.
even mean?
Yeah, so that's the thing. It's,
It's kind of vague.
vague and up to the interpretation of the judge
Right.
as to what exactly that means in a particular case, but that's what gives the judge this power to essentially erase one of those strikes.
Okay, so it's kind of a way to individualize justice.
Exactly. Instead of
Yeah.
just having this blanket.
This draconian, 25 to life
Right.
for everyone
Right.
who has a third strike.
So let's talk about this People v. Williams case.
Okay.
And let's get into the fact pattern a little bit. So Reginald Eugene Williams was arrested in 1995
Okay.
for driving under the influence of PCP.
Okay.
Now, a lot of people, when they think of DUI, they think, okay, well, that's not a strike.
Right.
That's not a serious or violent felony. So
Right.
how does this even come into play?
And this is why this case is so important and kind of lays out these nuances is that you're right. In most cases, just a single DUI wouldn't trigger the three strikes law, but Mr. Williams
Right.
had three prior DUIs.
Within a certain time frame.
Exactly, all within the past 7 years. And so under California law, when you have a fourth DUI within that time frame, it elevates it. It's no longer just a misdemeanor, it becomes a felony. And so now you're in the realm of strike territory.
Now, this is his fourth DUI, but it's not like his only run-in with the law.
No, not at all.
He's had a rough
Yeah, he has
number of
a
felonies.
history.
Yeah,
Yeah.
pretty significant
Yeah.
rap sheet. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so going back to 1982, so this is, well before this DUI,
Right.
he was convicted of rape and attempted robbery.
Okay.
And he was about 20 years old at the time. So these are some serious violent felonies.
Right.
And then since then, he also had some convictions for things like receiving stolen property, which is a nonviolent felony. But then more recently, right before this DUI, he was convicted of spousal battery,
Oh, wow.
which is a violent felony. So you've got,
There is a pattern.
there's a pattern,
Yeah.
right, of both violent and nonviolent offenses kind of sprinkled throughout his history.
Right. And so it's like, okay, well, those things happened, over a decade ago.
Right. Yeah.
But then there's this recent one that's like,
Right. So it's not like,
he didn't learn his lesson.
he's not just, a young kid who made some mistakes and now has, kind of gotten his act together. It seems like there's this ongoing pattern of criminal behavior.
Right. So now this case goes to the trial court,
Okay.
and the judge signals that he's open to striking a prior.
Yeah. He basically says, I'm willing to consider this.
Right. And so at this point, Mr. Williams is like,
Right.
I'll
He's
be good.
thinking this is good for me.
Yeah. Because he was initially pleading not guilty.
Exactly. He was going to fight the charges.
Right.
But then when he hears that the judge won't be willing to strike one of these priors,
Yeah.
he decides to change his plea to guilty
It's guilty on all the
to
charges.
all the charges, including admitting the prior conviction
So
allegations.
basically, he's making a gamble.
He's making a gamble, right? He's
Yeah,
saying,
yeah.
I'm going to plead guilty, hoping that
Hoping that one of these is going to get
judge will actually strike one of these
knocked off.
and I can get a lighter sentence.
Yeah.
And so the judge does actually strike a prior.
Yep.
He strikes the attempted robbery conviction from 1982.
So one of the violent felonies.
Oh, the violent felonies.
From the past.
Right.
But he doesn't put it in writing.
Exactly. And that's the key mistake here.
Okay.
You know, he may have had good reasons for striking it.
Right.
But he didn't put it in writing in the official court minutes, which is a big no-no procedurally.
So it goes up on appeal.
It goes up on appeal.
The appeals court says.
The appeals court says you messed up.
You messed up.
You didn't follow the rules.
You didn't write it down.
You need to give a reason.
We're going to reverse.
We're going to reverse.
Your decision.
Yeah, their decision.
And you need to impose.
And sentence him.
A sentence of 28 years to life.
28 to life. Because now he has three strikes.
Because now he has three strikes.
That weren't struck.
Right.
Yeah.
So it goes from this. You know, okay, maybe he's going to get a somewhat lighter sentence.
Right.
To, oh my God, you're going to spend.
You're going to be in prison.
Rest of your life in prison.
For a very long time.
Yeah. So then it goes up to the California Supreme Court.
Right. It goes up to the highest court in California.
Okay. And they're like.
Yeah. And they're like, wait a second.
We got to figure this out.
There are some issues here.
Yeah.
So they agreed with the Court of Appeal that the trial court screwed up by not giving a written justification
right.
for striking the prior. So they agreed that it should have been reversed.
Right.
But they said, you can't just impose this 28 to life sentence.
Yeah.
You need to send it back to the trial court.
Right.
And have them do a proper analysis.
Okay.
As to whether to strike a prior.
So what was the big question that the California Supreme Court was trying to answer in this case?
So the legal issue that they were trying to figure out was, did the trial court use their discretion improperly?
Okay.
So it wasn't just about the documentation. It was also about, like, were the reasons for striking the prior even valid in the first place?
Oh, so it's like a two-parter?
It's a two-parter, right?
Okay.
So first of all, you got to give reasons. But second of all, those reasons have to be legally sound.
Right. They have to be based on the right factors.
Right. The law.
Okay.
And so they weren't sure if that happened here because there was no documentation.
Right.
So they're like, go back and do it right.
Okay.
Tell us why you're striking this.
So the majority opinion in this case was written by Justice Mosk.
Yes.
And he lays out a three-part test.
Yes, a three-part test for when a judge is deciding whether to strike a prior.
Okay. So tell us about that test.
Yeah. So the first part is to look at the nature and circumstances of the current offense.
Okay.
So in this case, it was the DUI.
Right.
Now, it was elevated to a felony because of the priors.
Because of the priors, right.
But DUI itself is not, like, you know.
It's not an inherently violent crime.
It's not a robbery. It's not an assault. It's a DUI. So that's one thing to consider.
Okay.
The second part of the test is to look at the nature and circumstances of the prior strikes.
Okay. So you're looking back now.
Now you're looking back. You're looking at the attempted robbery.
The spousal battery.
The spousal battery.
Yeah.
The receiving stolen property you're looking at, were these violent or nonviolent?
Right.
How recent were they? So the fact that he had a very recent violent crime in the spousal battery that weighs against him in this analysis.
Okay.
And then the third part is to look at the defendant's background, their character, and their prospects for reform.
Okay. So you're looking at the whole person.
The whole person. Yeah. Are they, you know, someone who's just made bad choices and they're trying to turn their life around, or are they, you know,
are they a career criminal?
A career criminal.
Right.
Exactly.
And so in this case, Justice Mosk is saying, like, look, even though those first two violent crimes happened a long time ago,
right,
he hasn't really shown that he's changed.
Right. There's been this continuing pattern.
Right. And he's still engaging in criminal activity, and it's still violent.
Right.
So they're saying, you know, the judge can consider all of that.
Right. And they're saying that that has to be written down.
It has to be written down.
So this isn't just like, you know, the judge can just think about this in their head and be like, yeah, I think I'm going to strike this prior.
Right.
They have to actually document their reasoning.
And why is it so important to have that documentation?
So it's important for a couple of reasons. First of all, it makes the process transparent.
Right.
So everyone knows why the judge made the decision they did.
Right.
And it also makes it possible for a higher court to review that decision.
To review it, yeah.
To make sure that the judge used their discretion properly.
So without that documentation,
right,
they're kind of flying blind.
Exactly. They don't know what the judge was thinking. They don't know if they applied the right legal standards.
Right. And so what was the ultimate outcome for Mr. Williams?
So because the trial court didn't provide this written justification.
Yeah.
The California Supreme Court vacates the judgment Meaning they're like wiping it out.
They're wiping it out.
Starting over.
Starting over.
And they're saying, Mr. Williams, you can withdraw your guilty plea.
Oh, wow.
And you can have a new sentencing hearing.
So he's back to square one.
He's back to square one. Okay. And then trial court has to do it right this time.
Right.
Apply the test. Document their reasons
okay.
if they decide to strike a prior.
So there was a dissenting opinion in this case.
Yes, there was.
Written by Justice Baxter.
Yes.
What did Justice Baxter think about all of this?
So Justice Baxter agreed with the majority that the trial court messed up by not giving a reason. So he agreed that the judgment should be vacated.
Yeah.
But he disagreed with the part of the ruling that allowed Mr. Williams to withdraw his guilty plea.
Okay, so he's saying...
He's saying, look...
You messed up.
You messed up, but you're stuck with it.
You're stuck with it.
You pled guilty. You knew what you were doing.
Okay.
You're done.
So why did he feel so strongly about that?
So his reasoning was basically that Mr. Williams has this very long criminal history.
Yeah. He's been in and out of jail.
Including this recent violent crime.
The spousal battery.
Yeah. And so he's saying, you know,
yeah.
he's exactly the kind of person the three strikes law was designed for.
Right.
This isn't someone who just... you know, made a mistake and now deserves a second chance.
Right.
This is someone who has consistently shown a disregard for the law.
Right.
And so he's saying there's no need to even consider striking a prior in this case.
He's saying like he doesn't even deserve to have that conversation.
He doesn't meet the threshold.
Right.
To even have that discussion.
So it's a really interesting case.
It is.
I think especially for law students, it's like a really good illustration of.
Yeah.
How these laws are actually applied in real life.
It highlights the fact that, you know, judicial discretion is a thing.
Yeah.
It exists. It's important.
Right.
But it's not unlimited.
Right.
It's not like judges can just do whatever they want. They have to follow these rules.
Right.
They have to consider the factors that are laid out in the law.
And they have to write it down.
And they have to write it down, yeah.
Which I think for a lot of people is kind of a surprise.
It can be.
Like, really?
Yeah.
It all comes down to paperwork.
Well, it comes down to, you know,
yeah.
transparency and accountability.
Yeah.
And making sure that the process is fair.
Okay. And so what are some other key takeaways, you think, from this case for law students?
I think one of the big takeaways is this tension that this case illustrates
yeah.
between the legislature who passed these strict sentencing laws, like three strikes,
right.
and the judiciary who is tasked with applying those laws,
yeah.
but also making sure that justice is done
right.
in individual cases. So wow. sometimes those things are in tension.
Right.
And so it's up to the courts to kind of figure out
yeah.
how to balance. Those interests.
Those interests.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this was a fascinating case.
I thought so. I hope our listener found it helpful.
Me too.
If you are listening and you have a case that you would like us to deep dive on,
mm-hmm.
please send it in. And
yeah, we're always looking for new cases.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
So thinking about the Williams case.
Yeah.
And thinking about, you know, all the things that we've talked about.
Yeah.
Where do you think the balance lies?
That's a good question.
Yeah, like how do we...
Yeah.
Because you have these very strict laws.
Right.
You know, the legislature is very clear.
Right.
They want these people off the street.
Right, they want to keep the public safe.
Want to keep the public safe, yeah. But then you have this element of judicial discretion.
Right.
Where a judge can say, you know, maybe this person doesn't...
maybe this isn't...
deserve to be in prison for the rest of their life.
Right.
So it's a really tough question.
Yeah. And so I think what's really interesting about this case is it's not just about the big picture,
right.
you know, legal arguments.
It also comes down to, it comes down to the details.
So the details to the paperwork,
yeah.
to making sure
you dot your I's.
You dot your I's and cross your T's because if you don't, the whole thing can get thrown out.
The whole thing can get thrown out.
And you have to start over.
And you have to start over.
So yeah, it's a really important lesson.
Yeah. So for all you future lawyers out there, pay attention.
Pay attention to the details.
Yeah. Because it matters.
It really does.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive. And we will see you next time.
See you next time.
Bye.